Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, will be taken from John chapter 10 and verses 11 through 18. We read this in the name of our Lord. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel lesson? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Amen. Please be seated. Shall we pray? These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So as I said, this is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and this Sunday is called, very often called, the Good Shepherd Sunday, because every fourth Sunday of Easter in our church calendar, we read a text from the 10th chapter of John, which is the Good Shepherd chapter. And so that's what we've done today, and we'll be looking at this wonderful story of the Good Shepherd, how Jesus said he is the Good Shepherd. Last Sunday, we heard Mark speak about the I am statements of Jesus, and he explained that very well for us, how there were seven I am statements that Jesus made. And he spoke on, I am the resurrection and the life, when Jesus said that to Martha, whose brother Lazarus was dead. Well, our sermon text today includes another one of those great statements from our Lord. I am the good shepherd. And it's another one of these great I am statements. And the interesting thing about this is, I don't know if there's any imagery in the Bible that is quite as common, that we see more than the imagery of a shepherd and sheep. You know, it's throughout the whole Bible, throughout the Old and New Testaments, we always come across this imagery of shepherd and sheep. God used it to depict his relationship with human beings. God being the shepherd and us being the sheep. And so that's what we'll be looking at today. Our sermon text will lead us into the green pastures of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. So when we look at this text that we read, this text really needs to be understood against the backdrop of what happened in chapter 9 of John, because that's the context of what we read here. In chapter 9, Jesus had just given sight to a blind man. A man who was born blind, he just gave him his sight. And so that's what had just happened. And the words that we read today, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Because see what happened, when Jesus healed the blind man and gave him his sight, he gave sight to the blind man, but he exposed some blindness in the Pharisees. And so chapter 9 ends with Jesus telling the Pharisees that they are blind. See, the Pharisees had assumed the role of leading God's people. They were, in effect, shepherding God's people. But they were blind. And so Jesus tells them these parables or figures of speech about the shepherd and the sheep. And what he's doing is he's telling the Pharisees that there is only one shepherd. There's only one person and that's capable of leading the sheep. And that's he himself, Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. Only he is able to do this. And he's telling them that they aren't able to lead them. They are, in fact, blind. And so that's what brings us into this text. That's what brings us into this wonderful description that Jesus gives us of himself when he calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." There's no way of getting around the fact that by this statement, Jesus is claiming to be God. That's how the Pharisees would have understood this. And that's how we should understand this. You see, just like we heard in the scripture reading, when David said in the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Jews understood that. Their shepherd is God. God is their shepherd. It comes out again in Ezekiel 34 where God says, through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep." God claimed that role of being the shepherd. And so when Jesus comes out and he says, "I am the good shepherd," he's telling them, "I am God. I'm the one who's been leading you throughout this whole time. I am the good shepherd." God is the shepherd of Israel. And Jesus, he's letting them know that. And he's letting us know that. He's the shepherd. And so then Jesus goes on and he says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So here's where the metaphor gets pretty radical. You know, this is some pretty extreme shepherding going on here. I don't see any farmers out there that are willing to do this, that are willing to die to keep their animals alive. I know a lot of you here have animals. I know you have cattle, you maybe have sheep, and I know you love them, and I know you take very good care of them. But I don't see you being willing to give your own life so that they could stay alive. This is a very radical shepherd here. He's willing to give everything. He cares so much about these sheep. And that's just the point. God's love is radical. God sacrifices himself for his sheep. He's the good shepherd. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus goes on to say that the good shepherd is not a hired hand. "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." The kind of care that the shepherd has for his sheep isn't something that can be outsourced, where you could hire somebody to do the job for you. There's no hiring someone to do it. The reason for that is very simple. Because a hired hand doesn't own the sheep. He's not going to have the same level of care. You know, as a former business owner, I've had employees before, and nothing, this isn't to speak down on employees or anything like that. But I can just say from experience that there's nobody who cares as much for the business as the owner of the business. you know, this is your own thing that you have going on, and you hire someone in to work for you. You know, let's just say if you're out working in the elements on a cold, rainy, or snowy day, it's hard to get an employee to care as much about what you're doing as you care about it, because this is your thing, you know, your livelihood, and they're just there for a wage. And those of you who've owned a business totally can relate to this. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, they don't own the sheep. He said, so when the going gets tough, when it comes to the point of real sacrifice, where you actually have to give something of yourself, you know, that's the point where the line gets drawn. If you're risking life and limb to go out there and earn a wage, probably you're going to find something else to do. Probably you're not going to keep doing that, because you're going to say, I'm just hired. I'm just a hired hand. I'm just here for a wage. Why would I put myself at risk, and why would I do that? So the hired hand, what does he do? When he sees the wolf coming, that's enough for him. He's gone. He's like, okay, I'm out of here. And he leaves the defenseless animals. He leaves them there, and he flees. The wolf comes in, and he has a grand time. He destroys the helpless flock of sheep. And that's how it is. The hired hand doesn't come through in the end. You see, salvation, what Jesus is telling us is salvation, the salvation business, is something that Jesus and Jesus only is capable of. He can't outsource this to anyone else. He's the only one that's able to do this. Man-made religion, morality, whatever name you want to stick on it, our best efforts, we sang in our opening hymn that all my prayers and sighs and tears, not even that can ease my awful load. Thy work alone, my Savior. Jesus is the only one who can do that. Nothing, not what these hands have done, nothing that we can do can contribute to this. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's the only one able to do this. Because if you're going to do it by something you are employing, that's what the hired hand is. And that's going to let you down. In the most critical moment, when the wolf is coming, that's when it lets you down. It doesn't let you down, you know, in a moment that doesn't matter. At the most critical time, the time when you need somebody to protect you, that's when your good works and everything you do, your religion, that's when it will fail you. That's why you need a shepherd. We cannot afford to not have a shepherd. We need the good shepherd. We desperately need him. So Jesus says that, I am the good shepherd. And then he expands it this time, and he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. There's a special relationship that this shepherd has with his sheep. This isn't a 50-50 sort of proposition, like, you know, sometimes we tease each other and say that our marriage is, you know, they're not 50-50, they're 100 and 100, you know. Well, this isn't 50-50 either. This relationship actually is 0 and 100. It's 0% on the side of the sheep and 100% on the side of the shepherd. There's a complete dependency. The sheep just rely on their shepherd. So this is how the deal looks. The sheep, their job is to know that their shepherd will provide all their needs. And the shepherd, his job is to know that his sheep need him to provide all their needs. And so that's how this relationship goes. The sheep need the shepherd. By the way, do you realize that this is talking about us? We're the sheep. Remember that. We need Jesus. We need our shepherd. A lot of you have probably seen there's this meme that's been floating around on the internet for a while of this sheep that's like stuck in this canyon. There's like a very narrow crevice, and this sheep is like head first in this canyon. And a shepherd, in the video, the shepherd goes over and he pulls the sheep out. And it takes him a while to get the sheep out because it's wedged in there. He pulls it out and he sets it on, you know, on the ground. It's all safe. He rescues it from there. And then the sheep goes bounding along and dives right back in. And I think that's just a wonderful little picture of how we are. At least that's how I feel I am. You know, it's like just when Jesus gets me out of an issue, then boom, I'm right back in it. And I need him again. You know, so that's how we are as sheep. We need a constant care. We need Jesus always. It's not something that we just need him like every once in a while. It's like every 5 seconds, I need him. And that's how we are as sheep. We need the shepherd. You know, if we didn't have him, we would die. I'd be stuck in a canyon somewhere, and that's how that would end. But we have a good shepherd, and that's the point. We have Jesus, and he takes care of us. And his care for us includes he forgives all of our sins. He takes care of us. He takes death away from us. You know, it's not like he just gives us, like, little things. He gives us, like, big things, like eternal life, forgiveness of all of our sins. That's how much we need him. That's how much we rely on him. So that if we didn't have him, we would be dead. We would be lost eternally. But since we have him, we are his. And we're held in the palm of his hands. He says later on in this 10th chapter of John, he says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. So you can see that fierce love and care that he has for us, that nothing will be able to take us away from him. And we need him, and he provides for our care constantly. Jesus says that just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So how does Jesus know the Father, and how does the Father know Jesus? What's he talking about? He says, I and my Father are one. In another place, Jesus says that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. So that's what he means. He's saying that there's such a closeness there that there's really no separation between me and my Father. We're one. You see how close we are to Jesus. The shepherd and the flock of sheep, they're one unit. There's really only one unit there. He is in us. He's amongst us. He is with his sheep. A shepherd would never leave his sheep. Shepherds stay with their sheep. They go along with them. They lead them. They walk with them. They eat with them. They sleep in the middle of them. They never leave them. The shepherd and the sheep are one and the same. Without one, you don't have the other. You know, that's how much they are a unit. That's how Jesus is. Jesus never leaves us. He's always with us. He's walking amongst us. He's constantly with us. He's providing for our needs. Our needs are constant, like I said. Every 5 seconds, we're bailing back in that canyon. And Jesus is constantly providing for us. And that's just how this relationship goes. It's 0 and 100. We give nothing. We don't contribute in anything. And Jesus contributes everything. To the point where he says that he lays down his life for his sheep. He himself dies. He goes to that degree where he actually dies to save those sheep and to keep them alive. Jesus is talking about when he would die on the cross. That's what he's talking about. He's saying that I'm going to die for you. The kind of care is just so extreme that that's the best thing we can use to describe it is what Jesus does here. This radical shepherd who's willing to die for his sheep. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus did for every one of you. He gave his life for you. Jesus goes on to say that he has other sheep. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. So what he's saying here is that this isn't just for the Jews. This isn't just for the chosen Old Testament people of God. Remember, he's talking to Jews. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's saying, this will be also for the Gentiles or the non-Jewish people. He says that it's going to be for the whole world. He's going to be the shepherd of everybody. Just like Paul says in Galatians that there is now, since Jesus died on the cross for everybody, he says there's neither Jew or Greek. That's not even a distinction anymore. There's neither Jew or Greek. There's not slave or free. There's not male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. There's one flock. There's one shepherd. So we are all together in this one flock. And we can all say together that Jesus is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Jesus says that for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. You realize what this means? This means that God loves us. God loves us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Brothers and sisters, this is your God. Your God doesn't just potentially love you. He actually loves you. You know, it's not like God's love for you is like if you flipped a coin and it's spinning in the air, you would say that coin has the potential to be land on either heads or tails. That's not how it is. The coin has landed. It's already done. God loves you. In fact, it's not even a possibility anymore that he doesn't love you. He's already shown it to you. He died on the cross. He rose again for you. So that's not even a possibility that he doesn't love you. The coin has landed. He loves you. He actually loves you. He died and rose again to save you. Jesus says that no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. This is something he did. He wants us to be very clear about that. That our ability to inflict pain and suffering and death on God, our ability to do that is not more powerful than his love for us. Basically, no one took Jesus' life. It wasn't nails that were holding Jesus onto the cross. It was love that was holding him there. He gave himself to do this. He allowed this to happen. His love was more powerful than anything we could have done to him and anything we did do to him. His love is that powerful and that extreme that he laid down his life so that he could take it again and he could save all of us. Jesus says that he has authority to lay it down, and he also has authority to take it up again. Now, this isn't the question. It's not the question of whether Jesus can do this. He's God. He can do this. He can lay his life down. He can also take it again. The only thing that was in question before was, you know, we didn't have the ability to do that. You know, that was guaranteed. We didn't have power over death. So he did it for us. He didn't do it for himself. Jesus didn't need to come and die for himself. He did it because we needed it. We were, as it says in Hebrews, we were in bondage to the fear of death our whole life. Everybody. We were born that way. We were born, you know, destined to die, And that was our reality. Jesus entered into that. He came here, and he entered into our reality. He laid down his life, and he experienced our death. In Hebrews, it says that he tasted death for every human being. He did this for us. He died our death. And you know what he did in the process? He rose again, and he rose us up with him. So now we have been raised to life. We have been given eternal life in Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. This good shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep, and he took his life again. He came back to life, and he brought us all with him. And so we have eternal life in him. And so Jesus says that, I have received this charge, or this commandment, I have received from my Father. Again, whose love is this for you? This is God's love. This is his Father, he says. I and my Father are one. I came to do this because my Father sent me to save you, to be this good shepherd that would lay down his life. So God loves you. That's the message. God loves you. You're a sheep. We're all sheep. He's the shepherd. We rely on him 100%. 100% we need him. And he cares for us. So brothers and sisters, you have a good shepherd. Jesus is your good shepherd. He died for you. He rose for you. And he gave you, his sheep, eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for loving us and sending Jesus to be our shepherd. We ask that you would strengthen our faith so that we would safely remain in the care of Jesus, our good shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.